Okay, welcome back to a new semester of the Bit Midrash. Hooray.
Hooray.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank, as usual, she's never in my class. I can thank her publicly. And Larry Stacker, who always picks up the cake. Yeah, you should all thank her.
Although, yeah, thanks for the cake.
Although nobody's eating cake, so, I mean, is that a thing? Is it just January or nobody's... Bravo, was he saying? You have to cut down on the cake, I think.
Well,
only the skinny guys eat
the
cake.
Not to give the
nobody eats the cake.
I told him not to get it anymore on the fruit day, so maybe I'll cut down and bring some fruit. Do people like that?
Yes. Try that. Bring fruit? Yes, try that. So cut it down, bring fruit. That's good. Thank you. Okay, wonderful. Well, now Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Vav. As I mentioned before, the plan is as follows. We hope to finish the book of Shmuel Aleph, and then we will take a break from Shmuel, and I'll switch to Megillat Esther, the book of Esther, which I think should be fun, because it should be in plenty of time to really learn Esther quite well. And we'll pick up Shmuel Bet in the summertime. An hour before Mincha, which is always why it's not good for you.
No, I go to a different shiur and
stuff. Can't help you. I'm sorry.
No,
that's okay. Okay. We're now in chapter 26. Okay, and the name of this, I won't tell you the name. You'll get the name at the end. Okay, and will seem very repetitive to you, the whole thing. Says that the Navi, Vayavo hazifim el Shaul hagivat alim, or so the zifim came to Shaul to give up. Hello, David mistater b'givat ha'chakila al panei ha'yishimon. David is hiding. There's nobody over there. David is hiding in Givat. What is it called? Givat ha'chakila, facing the Yishimon. I don't know where that is, but that's where he's hiding. Okay. Stop me if it sounds familiar. Oh, you have your sheet. You have everything. Every map.
I have several maps.
Bradley has many maps. Okay. Does it say where that is?
It's missing
the Zifim.
No. Where was you at?
Carmel. Here it is, Zif.
Okay.
Right in the middle. Near it's southeast of Hebron. All right, it's in the middle of Midbar Yehuda, the Judean desert. Okay. Vayakam Shaul, so the Zifim came to Shaul and said, we found him. Boom, we got him. Vayakam Shaul, Vayerid on Midbar Zif. Ve'ito Shaloset Alafim Ish Bachurei Yisrael Levakesh David in Midbar Zif. This time Shaul is serious. He takes with him 3,000 young men, warriors. He's going to finish this one once and for all. Vayichan Shaul b'givat ha'chakila asher apnei Yishimon al-hadarech. So Shaul encamps on the way. V'David yoshev b'midbar. David is in the desert, in the wilderness. Vayar kibra Shaul acharav ha'midbara. And he sees that Shaul is coming. Vayishlach David miraglin. Vayedar kibra Shaul el nachon. So he sends miraglin, spies, and he knows that Shaul is really on his way. Why does David send spies? How come he sends spies this time? He doesn't send the last time. That's different now. Why would he send spies?
He learned his lesson.
Or, how come he didn't send spies the last time? Why does he have to send spies if he hears that he's purely season? Why does he need to send spies? What are the spies going to find out?
Amen.
What's going on?
How hard is it, by the way, to spy on the Jewish army? Well, what would the purpose of the spying be?
You see what his intentions were?
Right. Why would he need to send spies?
Well, because he thought that, you know, Saul made this big speech.
Yeah, right.
Game over.
Exactly right. What happened? You know, you're going to notice that this is all kind of repetitive. We've heard this story before. The Zifim said, we found him, and Saul comes and gets him. What happened the last time? Can somebody please give me a short recap? Because we're going to go through it more in depth. Can anybody tell me what happened the last time? The last time this happened? Two chapters ago, he cut the corner of the garment, the whole thing with the tzitzis. And what happened after that?
Big speech.
From who?
From Shaul.
Oh, big speech from Shaul about?
David was right. He's a better man.
You're going to be king.
And you're going to be king.
After David was in a better position.
Well, that was a position to run away. I mean, right. Does everybody remember where Shaul was when the cutting of the garment happened?
In the cave,
right?
Attending to his
personal requirements, right? Okay. So, what happens this time? So David, one gets the sense that David says, "One second, I thought we were finished with this. Why in the world do I need to deal with this again? Maybe Saul's going on a military exercise or something." So he sends his spies, because how hard would it be for someone to meld into the Israeli army, to the Jewish army, Saul's army, and say, well, "What are we here for?" That's hard. Not so hard. Wow, it gets garbage. Once and for all, we're going to get him. Vayakam David, vayavo el hamakom. David got up and he went to the place. Asher chanash sham Shaul, where Shaul is encamped. Vayar David et hamakom asher shachab sham Shaul. So he sees the place where David Ushal is lying, but Avner ben Ner Sartzvao, and Avner his defense minister of defense. V'Shaul Shochev Ma'agal V'Ha'am Chonim Sivivotav. Saul is sleeping in this sort of ma'agal, this circle, and everyone is sleeping around him. Vayan David vayomer el Achimelech Achiti mel Avishai ben Tzruya Achiyo Avleimor. So David says to Achimelech and Avishai, Mi ereid iti el Shaul el ha-machaneh? Who's going with me? Vayomer Avishai, Ani ereid imach. I'm coming. Coming for what?
Well, I guess they're going to fight. Not coming there in peace
to discuss.
To have a talk? If you heard that, what would you say? What were you thinking of? Who's with me? With me for what?
For whatever.
For whatever. Well said, Henry. Okay, that's right. Who's with me? And Avishai says, I'm with you. Vayavo David v'Avishai el ha'am laila. It comes in the night. V'yinei sha'u shochev yashen v'ma'agal. Shaul is sleeping. V'chanitau m'ucha ba'aretz merashotav. And his spear is in the ground, is stuck in the ground at his head. V'avner v'ha'am shochvim sivivotav. And Avner and everybody else is sleeping around him. Okay, what's unusual? And interesting?
Why did Shaul have his spear in the ground? Why didn't he have it next to him? Was sleeping if he was
good.
So paranoid, he wouldn't have it next to him.
What else?
Everyone's asleep.
Everyone's asleep.
Nobody's
starting. Yeah, right. I mean, correct. I mean, anybody who's ever been in Israel, and none of us have, I don't think, anybody here in the army? I mean, you know, if you've been in Israel, the worst part of being in the army is Shmirah. You got to do Shmirah on your base. And God only knows, you know.
So Ari,
it's brutal. What? Ari told you? It's brutal. Shmirah is brutal, especially when it's cold and raining. You're out there. Right? You got to do Shmirah. And, you know, why? Because you got to do Shmirah. So how could it be that they're all asleep? We'll find out in a second. Vayomer Avishai el David. Says Avishai to David, Sigar Elokim hayom et oivecha biyadecha. God has placed your enemy in your hands. Va'ata akenuna bechanit uva'aretz pam achat v'lo eshnelo. Says, I'll tell you what, take that spear, slam it right through him and the ground, and I won't need to hit him a second time. Good plan, right? Vayomer David Avishai, al tashchidehu. No, don't do it. Who can kill the Mashiach Hashem and be clean? Chai Hashem means I swear by God that only God will smite Shaul. Oh Yomo Yavo Ramait, or maybe he'll die naturally. Oh Bamilchama Yered, Vinishpa. Or maybe he'll die in a war. Vinishpa means and he will get killed. God forbid that I should smite the anointed of God. Take that spear. Take the spear. Take the water jug and let's go. Okay. Why are you frowning?
That's the only trophy that they would take to prove that they
What's
were there.
The point of
them
going?
Ah.
What's the point?
Right. What's the point? Why go?
If you're not going to kill, you're not going to do any damage, or take him as a hostage, or take him as a prisoner, or do anything.
Right. But why go? Look.
It's just like before.
What?
It's just like before.
Moreover, that's really what you're asking me.
Exactly.
What happened before?
Exactly like before. You could have killed him.
You could have killed him.
Yeah. Before, he was only there with. He was there by himself in the cave because he had 3,000 guards. So here you're talking about now you've really penetrated, you know, to his forces. You're within 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
You just walked up with, you know, with nothing.
That's been pretty spooky. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can imagine the scene. Like, you know, 3,000 men asleep and they're all snoring away.
And
you're just kind of like tiptoeing. Like, nobody hears you.
But you take away.
Oh, let's see.
Nobody comes in. And they all have hearing aids.
In the meantime, it takes away his protection. And it takes away his life, his water.
Oh, they'll get water somewhere else. I mean, come on. He takes away one jug of water.
He was there.
So the point is just to show we were here. That's
what
he takes.
So then what are you asking me? What are you asking me?
Why didn't you wake him up to tell him he was there?
Oh, there's no reason why I didn't wake him up.
Yeah.
No, there's only 3,000 other guys there. I wouldn't be busy there.
Why is he trying to make a point? I mean, what's that?
Ask more strongly.
did this before.
Yeah, it did it already. That's what you want to know. Right. I mean, if it didn't work before, what's he doing it again for?
Hoping it'll work again.
Okay, David is a lot of things.
Slow learning.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not. So why would he do the same thing that he did the last time and think that it would work? Doesn't make any sense. That's a good question.
He learned from his lesson last time, because he didn't desecrate his clothes.
Because this time he didn't desecrate his clothes. This time he took the water jug.
And Hashem told him to.
But on the other hand, he said several times that this is the anointed of Hashem. I'm not going to do anything to him. He's anointed by Hashem. I'm not going to do anything to him.
Right.
So maybe that's what he's proclaiming in front of all these other people who are...
They're all sleeping.
No, the people that came with him. Avner and who else?
There's Abishai. It's him and another guy. Two guys. Now, I remember quite clearly. This is a personal memory of mine. When I was very young, my father came home one day with these two books. One was Stories of King David, and one was Stories of King Solomon. You know, ever read those books? English books, Stories of King David. I think they still have them today. And he would read us, I remember he would read us these stories. He used to beg them to read these stories. And one of the stories I remember quite clearly, and maybe you've heard this midrash, it must be based on a midrash, was that when David reached over to reach the water jug, he had to reach between Avner's legs. And Avner was a very strong, tall, powerful man. And Avner's legs closed on David. So he was caught in the vise grip of the legs of Avner while he was sleeping. Now, this was a serious sleep, but whatever. And that David was only freed through the fact that a bee came along and stung Avner's knee so that he jarred himself and that he got free. Anybody ever hear that?
No.
I'm telling you, this book was always based on midrashim. So I have to find the midrash. I didn't have time to look for it. I'll see if I can find it.
Exactly. Take away another mitzvah from
him. Take away another mitzvah of what?
Washing your hands when you wake up.
I'm so glad you said that, Bradley.
The first time around.
Oh, Baruch Shivanta. Let's see. We'll see in a minute. Very good.
Because he's repeating himself again. He's doing it again. He's repeating another mitzvah.
Okay, yeah, you missed it now. Okay. take a page and pass it on. This is great, Bradley. I mean, I would never have said that in a million years.
I wash my hands every morning, so eventually it clicks.
Okay. Well, we all wash our hands. Now, it's a good question. Why in the world? Well, we're going to talk about the spear. Where's the point? Let's take the water. The tzitzis, remember, we had imagery, the power of the tzitzis, the clothing, the midrash talks about it, and we'll talk about the spear later. Why does it take the water? The spear, also, you could understand. You know, taking away the spear, I was here, I could have killed you. The spear is like, I could have killed you. Right, I have your spear, you know where it was. That's right. No, I'm with the spear. Okay, you like that? Okay. Page 1 at the bottom. B'yalkute mahariach. Seder Tiel Sadaim Kasav, he writes, B'shva mahachanit, I understand the spear, lakach, she'im yini'or hamelech, that if the king wakes up, lo yiyye b'yardo hachanit hakos oso. He's not going to have anything to smite him with. Avalama lakachas tzapachis hamayim. Why did he take the water? That's a good question. V'yesh lomar, I suggest, Shaul HaMelech Shehaya Bechir Hashem, Shaul HaMelech, who was the chosen of God, B'vaday Haya Nishar, Shalom Lelech Korim Netilas Yadayim Shechis. Shaul was Makbir on Netilas Yadayim. He got up in the morning and he washed Negelaser. U'kefi Anira, it seems like, Shele Kavan Azu Ha'amid Shaul HaMelech Tzapachas HaMayim Rash Ozav. That's why Shaul HaMelech, why did he put the water next to his head in the morning? Because every good Jew has to put water next to their bed in the morning in order to wash Negev Vaser. Right? Well, is that keeping Adonai HaMelech David? That's why David HaMelech v'lakachas tzapachas hamayim, to take his water jug, k'dei she'im yinior HaMelech Shaul, if Shaul would wake up, lo yiyya b'yado yecholas lirdof alav. So then Shaul would say, I didn't wash Negelmasher yet, so therefore I can't chase after him, and that's why I took away the water. No?
I have a problem with that. The guy who murdered a whole village in Kohanim.
No, first of all, we talked about that before. For sure, I don't have any problem believing the Shaul washed Negelmasher. No problem whatsoever. I mean, Negelmasher, I'm not sure when it came about. Din Rabbanan, wash in the morning, you know. But I have no problem with the division of the ritual and the ethical. We've talked about that extensively, how a person could be the most meticulous individual when it comes to the halachas of, you know, of Pas Yisrael and Chalav Yisrael, won't put a thing in his mouth, but to lie through his teeth, to, you know, to steal from his clients, no problem whatsoever. Right. Yeah, right. I mean, the Frumkeit, the division, that's no problem. So I just thought, I mean, you know, come on, Bradley, you couldn't make it up. You know what I'm saying? Where do you get that from? That the Nagel Vasher, where does that come from? It comes from a halachic, super halachic point of view, I don't know if the Maharyach really believed that Shaul wouldn't move to go attack his enemies without watching Nagel Vasher. I perhaps personally don't believe that. But, so the reason I showed that to you was, I cannot for the life of me figure out, why did he take the water? What was he trying to do with the water? Okay, we'll leave it for now.
Did he take the water?
He took the jug of water. Yeah, he did. Okay. So that's what he says. Let's go back to Yud Aleph for a second. What?
Calling them his hypocrisy.
His hypocrisy. Oh, you're so firm that you left the water to wash.
No. Just like with the cutting the corners.
So what does the water have to do with anything?
Again, it's like, you know, you wear the tzitzis, you wash your hands.
Right, you're so firm you wash your hands in the morning.
But then you're running around trying to kill me.
So the question would be, the question you're left with is, he did it already.
Right, well.
So if he did it already, why doing it again?
Right,
I mean, it didn't work the first time. But if first you don't succeed, try again. Okay. Yud Aleph again. Chalim Ali Me Hashem Mishloach Yadim Mishiach Hashem. God forbid. That's what he says. God forbid I should do such a thing. V'ata kachna sachanit Hashem Mirashat. So do me a favor. Take the spear. V'esapach ha-samayim v'nel chavanu. He says to Avishai, take it and let's go. Let's get out of here. Yud Beis. V'yikach David sachanit v'esapach ha-samayim Mirashat Shei Shaul v'yachulahem. So David took the spear and the water from the head of Shaul and they went. V'ein lo'eh. The Ein Yodea, no one saw, no one knew. The Ein Mechitz, no one woke up. Why? Ki kulam yishenim. They're all asleep. Why? Ki tardei mas Hashem nafla aleihem. No, they hadn't had a milchit meal. It was a slumber of God. They were all sedated. Right? They were spiritually sedated. Right? Kind of like going to a shiur on a Monday night. You're spiritually sedated.
No, it's also a test on
David. Oh, very good. Stop there. You're very good, Bradley. Do you need English or you're okay?
No,
very good. We'll stop there. I don't want to get ahead of you.
I haven't even looked at the digest.
Very good. Okay. What else bothers you about this? Interesting. Something should bother you about 11 and 12. You're all these days.
Well,
look carefully.
He said for him to take the spear, and then he took the spear.
Good. Why did he tell the other guy to take the spear, and then he did it himself? Fine. Yeah? Idea?
I'm afraid the other guy would probably use it.
Very good. Right. Maybe that was a good one. Is there another one? Let's leave it at that.
Now, are we to believe that David knew they were all under the spell?
Well, clearly weren't waking up. I mean...
Okay.
Don't you get that sense? Like, you know,
if they already are,
he first starts tiptoeing around, then like kicks a guy, nothing happens. You know,
they're after the night.
Yeah, they're done. Okay, I think they knew something was
like
going
the
on.
Hessians, Christmas night. Yeah,
what, like who?
The Hessians. Over and
ordered
a walk. Right? They were all
drunk.
You know, I'm sure one gets a sense. Look at what Avichai said to him. He said, "You are." You see that God has placed the shovel into your hands. So why did God make them all sleep? Does God want David to kill Shaul?
No.
Clearly not. Then why does God make them all fall asleep?
He's testing David.
Oh. You know, it's a very... If you're so sure that he doesn't want him to kill him,
it's like the first time David actually was thinking about killing him. This time it was a chance to do right by the first time, to say, okay, just
he didn't kill him the first time.
Right, but he could have, and he was thinking about it, and he made a mistake, and he cut the corner, and it was almost like killing him when he cut the corner. It was like saying, you're dead, you can't do the mitzvah. This time around, it's like, okay, David, here's your chance.
Good. David went to the next mountain. Enough space in between them. David calls out to the nation and to Abner. Wake up! Hello, time now, Abner. Hey, Abner! Vayan Avner Vayomer, mi atakarat el hamelech. Who are you calling to the king? Vayomer David al Avner. David says, hey, hello, Ish Ata. Umikamocha b'Yisrael. You are a tough guy. You're the strongest in Israel, right? V'lama lo shamarta et Adonecha hamelech. But you didn't do your job tonight. Kiva achad ha'am lashchit et hamelech Adonecha. Someone came to kill your master. Lo tovah davar hazeh asher asita. Not such a good thing you did. Chai Hashem ki b'nei mavet atem. As God lives, you are worthy of death. Asher lo shamartem al Adonechem al Mashiach Hashem. You didn't guard your master, the anointed. V'atar re'ei, eicha nitamelech betzapachar hamayim asher mirashotav. Yeah. Do me a favor. Where is the king's spear and his water? Vayakir Shaul et kol David. So Saul wakes up. He recognizes the call. Vayomer hakolcha zevini David. David, my son, is that you? Vayomer David koli Adoni Hamelech. Yeah, my master. Yes, it is. Vayomer lama ze Adoni rodev acharei avdo. Says, why are you chasing after your servant? Kine asiti umem yadi ra'a. What have I done to you? What have I done bad to you? Your test. Ve'ata yishmana Adoni Hamelech es divrei avdo. Listen up. Im Hashem heshitcha bi yarach mincha. If God has, lahasit means to, Macy's is someone who slanders. Slanders, but how do I translate it? If God has
incited,
thank you. Yarach mincha. Let him smell an offering of forgiveness. Mimnei Adam. But if it's people, Aruim Heim Livnei Hashem. Let them be cursed. Ki Gershuni Hayom. They have divorced me. They have sent me out from dwelling in the inheritance of God. Lech avod Elohim acherim. Go worship another god. And now, al yipol dami arza mineged pnei Hashem. My blood shouldn't fall to the ground. Ki atza melech Yisrael levakesh et parosh echad kasher yedov hakorei b'harim. The king of Israel has come to try to kill one parosh. What's one parosh? A flea. Yeah, I thought it was a mosquito. Okay, as the korei b'harim, as the chaser in the fields, as the bird tries to chase. Vayomer Shaul, so says Shaul, chatati shuv b'nei David. I sin again. Ki lo ara lecha od. I'm not going to do anything else. I'll stop. Tachad asher yakra nafshi b'enecha hayom hazeh. Because you saved me, so I'll save you. Hinei hiskalti v'eshgeh harbei me'od. I was foolish. I made a big mistake. Vayan dami vayomer. He says, hinei hachanit. Hinei chanit hamelech. Here's your sword. Vayavor echad mehane'arim v'yikacheha. Take your sword. And he gave it back to him. V'Hashem yashiv ish et tzidkaso v'et emunato. And God should return to the man his faithfulness and his righteousness. Asher natancha hayom b'yad v'lo aviti b'smelach yadim b'mashiach Hashem. You were in my hand. I had you. And I didn't want to kill you. V'hinei kasher gamlah nafshecha hayom hazeh b'einai. As your soul has gone great in my eyes, kein tigdal nafshi b'einei Hashem. So should my soul be great in the eyes of God. Just as I saved you, I didn't kill you, God should save me. Vayomer Shaul David, Baruch atah b'nei David, gam asot ta'aseh, v'gam yachol tuchal. You can do anything you want. Vayelech David v'darko, v'Shaul shal b'mkomo. David went home, Shaul went home. So we have a number of questions, a number of issues to come up with. The real question is, first question again we have is, why does David go down into Shaul's place in the first place? Why does God put them all to sleep? And why does David go? If it didn't work the first time, why does he think it's going to work the second time? That's number one. Number two, David is emphatic. Why is he so emphatic, interestingly enough, about not killing Shaul? And actually, he swears, he takes an oath, God forbid I should do such a thing.
Never crosses his mind this time.
What?
Never even comes close to crossing his mind.
Okay.
Right away, he's just like, he's Shaul, he's the king, and that's it.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't want to be the ruler.
if he says it's okay now to do it, then someone else will see that when he's the king and say, well, then I can do it too.
Right, we said it the last time. That's why he decided not to last time. But here he's much more emphatic. Next thing, why does he tell Avishai to go get the spear and then he gets it himself? The water, I have no idea. I don't have any answers for him. What? It's all from God. So it's interesting to note that this seems to be a repetition of the same story. In reality, it's not a repetition at all. It's very, very different in many different ways.
And now, language is different.
Well, language is different. Turn over to the second side. Okay? So I gave you a chart. If you have a pen, break one out. Otherwise, I have... anybody have a pen? Anyone?
No,
I have 7 or 8 pens. Okay, 8 pass along. I always find it's much more helpful to participate if you are writing. Okay. Got it, Henry?
No. What? I don't know. I was coming for a test.
Is that a test? That's an okay. We're going to see there are 10 differences between this story and the last story. Other than the actual thing itself, there are 10 differences. Planning in the cave, chapter 24. What was the planning?
There was no plan.
Why?
It just kind of happened.
Right, no plan. No plan, David hiding. Anybody else got a pen for Steve? You don't want a pen? You're anti-pen?
I follow that.
Okay. At the camp, obviously, very well planned. The question I have for you is, what was the plan?
Well, Cain's plan was to take the sword and the water, and leave Shaul living.
Okay. Family ties. Okay. In chapter 24, what's the relationship between Shaul and David?
There is none.
Chapter 24. What's the relationship? What?
Son-in-law.
Shaul is his father-in-law.
There is none.
Why?
Because they were divorced.
Very good. Right. The last thing we learned at the end of the last chapter was? The beginning of chapter 26. Right. In reality, by the way, if you look back to the beginning of chapter 26, and the Navi does this, and so we go by chapters, but it really is not appropriate. Look at what page you're on? Chapter 26, the beginning. 170. Look at the pasuk before that. That you notice how the Navi divides it up? See where the Parshas Stuma begins? You see where I am, 170?
Mm-hmm.
The parsha begins really, V'Shaul Natan et Michal Bito Eshet David B'Pasid Emayet Hashem Megalim. When Shaul took his daughter away from David and gave her to somebody else, what did he do?
He committed sin.
Well, other than the sin.
He ended his family relationship.
That's right. He ended the relationship. We're no longer family. Why? Why would he do such a thing? It's easier to kill someone who's not your son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, that's what he did.
There's only one problem with his little plan. Huh? What's the problem?
He made her an adulterer.
Well, aside from that little detail. In the Midrash, the Gemara talks about extensively. The Mepharshim talked about how could Shaul have done this, because he wouldn't have done. So they say that Shaul felt that it was Kiddushei Taos, that the marriage was, he married off his daughter to David, which he has the right to do. So when he found out that David is a real loser and a jerk trying to kill him, right then, must be a bad, he made a mistake. Right? There's only one problem with Shaul, what Shaul did. It doesn't work, right? It's not true, it doesn't work. Okay, but aside from the Isser problem, right? It's easier to kill a guy if he's not your son-in-law. There's the problem with that, though.
It didn't make a difference to him.
Well, okay. Why would he do it?
It's a spider, maybe.
And the real problem is that goes both ways.
Ex-son-in-law to kill a father.
Correct. It's easier for a non-son-in-law to kill his ex-father-in-law who stole
Except
his wife.
That's not why David didn't kill him.
What?
Except that's not why
but
David
he didn't. One second. That's not why he didn't?
No.
I'm confused. That would be a reason for him to kill him.
No, that relationship wasn't the reason why he didn't kill him. When he went and snipped off part of his sister's.
Except it's just very interesting. Excuse me, one second. Now we're going to skip down. One second. When David speaks, look back in chapter 24, and when David speaks to Saul, how does he address him? Chapter 24. When David calls out to Saul. Yeah.
My lord?
Va'avir.
Pasuk Yud Bet. What does he say?
Va'avir.
He says, Va'avir re'e gam re'e knaf milcha. What does he call him? Dad! What word does not appear in chapter 26?
Avi.
No dad.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but.
Shaul calls him Beni.
Right, and what does David say?
He doesn't answer. He doesn't respond to
meaning
him.
What?
He doesn't recognize that Shaul is calling him my son.
Ain't your son no more.
Okay. But Shaul,
instead of
not.
What, you don't think so? Yeah.
But Shaul is called.
Shaul is like, everything's the same. Everything's the same. The same. What are you kidding? My son?
I can't really believe that either of that this made a difference to either one of them.
I don't really believe that Saul is saying, now it'll be easier for me to... Hold on a second. I'm going somewhere. You don't think it made a difference to David that his father-in-law took away his wife?
No.
Who he loved, his first wife?
No, I believe that, but I don't think it would give David a reason to hate his father-in-law.
You don't think so?
No, I understand that, but I don't think it was
It was a big deal?
It was a big deal, but I don't think it made the difference.
No, it wasn't a big deal. He had enough wives.
I don't think it made the difference.
Really? Really? You don't think it made a difference that your father-in-law took away your wife?
No, I think he was upset about it, but I still don't think it would have made him want him to kill him any more or less.
Don't get me wrong, your father-in-law took your father away from your husband, I think you'd be pretty ticked off also.
No,
now would you have somebody else?
Mad. I'm not saying he's not mad and upset, but I don't know that Shaul felt any...
You don't think he's mad and upset, Helen? No? Shmuel.
It added legitimacy to David when he was married to his daughter.
Right.
Inheritance, he could have become king.
Correct.
That way, you know, right. Because it's, you know, if there's no children or they die, whatever, David could have taken over from Saul and, you know, become king. When he took that away, that might have been...
What happens when David becomes king? What does he do to Micha? Anybody know? Somebody know? Takes her back, sure. Of course he takes her back. He wants her back. And we see later on how very much he wants her back. Like, he loved her too. Shmuel, in the cave.
When you say about family ties at the cave.
Oh, no longer father-in-law at the camp. Oh. Right? Shmuel at the cave.
Was alive.
He what?
Right? He died right after. That's why God was a super...
Shmuel at the camp? What deterrence does David have in the cave? No. What deterrence to prevent him from doing it does he have in the cave? Remember? Why? What would be a good reason for David not to do it? The Nabi gives a reason. What? No. Real deterrence, not spiritual.
Not spiritual?
Yeah.
No, didn't we say that he thought that if he killed the king, somebody can kill him when he
came? Yeah, right. Remember, he's surrounded by the soldiers who are just waiting for the king to come out. What surprise? It's not the king, it's David. Kill him. Right? So he's surrounded by soldiers in the cave. Okay? At the camp?
Nothing.
Very little.
They're all sleeping?
No, they're sleeping.
They're sleeping.
But he's still surrounded by soldiers.
Yeah, but they're all sleeping in a heavy sleep. Nobody is
aroused. Who does the deed, or who's willing to do the deed? You have to look back in Chazalis. Who's willing to do it back then?
All his men.
Who's willing to do it? Look at verse 5 on 24. What page?
Men.
What?
His
men. His men. Why don't you do it? Read it for me in English. Verse 5. Chapter 24. Yeah, read out loud. David, read out loud. Verse 5. Chapter 24, verse 5.
David's men said to him, "Behold, this is the day of which Hashem says to you, behold, I am delivering your enemies into your hands."
Yeah. Read that again, that last sentence. The last.
And I am delivering your enemy into your hands.
Yeah.
You may do to him as you please.
You may do to him as you please. So what do they say to David?
You do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it. Right? Are they going to do it?
No.
No. And now, 26.
Avishai
is like, let me add him.
I'll do it.
Did
the deed in the cave?
So in the cave, they want David to do it.
No,
Avishai didn't say that. No, he said, you do it, and I'll
in the cave, happen. They want David to do it.
No, but over here.
And in our parish, what does he say?
They want to do it. That,
what does Avishai say? The Yomer Avishai? Ba'ata akenuna. I will do it. No, akenu means I'm going to do it. So now, at the camp, they're willing to do it. They're willing. Avishai himself is willing to do it, which is interesting. What does that indicate?
They're no longer loyal to the king at all.
Not right. Before, there was a sense of loyalty to the king. They were afraid of actually going through with it. And now, all bets are off. Let me add them. Let's finish this once and for all.
Did you say this would be the beginning of the transference of loyalty to one king? The beginning of the...
Beginning? But it's already over.
Oh. It's done. Yeah.
Here, I think...
A lot to none.
Yeah. Right, but I think it's the same as deterrence. Okay. Oh, that wasn't what deterrence was. Deterrence was... Oh, 1 second. So instead of fear factor, write, will it work? Fear factor, right? Will it work? Meaning,
succeed in killing him?
No, will the sign work?
The sign?
Yeah, will the symbol, cutting off the thing, well, whatever, will it work?
Cutting off the tzitzis.
Oh, right. Cutting off the tzitzis.
You mean,
so... Yes. So in the cave, does David think that his sign will work and convince Shaul that he's a nice guy?
No.
He hopes
in the cave?
He thinks he will.
The first time?
He thought he did it to show his men.
Show his men?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I thought that he thought it would work. He was hoping the king would leave him alone. Which is why he sacked.
Because in the cave, his men came up to him and said, you do it, and then, like, he wasn't...
So why did he cut off the tits, though? Why did he cut off the corner of the garment?
To prove that he could.
To who?
I thought to
his own men. Interesting. Yeah. I thought clear, but he uses it as a sample for Shaul, for the king. So now, does he think it'll work now at the camp? There's no way he's going to think it'll work. Why won't he think it'll work? It didn't work before. If the king came after me before, I'm sure he's going to come after me again.
So then why take the knife?
Good. I love his anyway. Say that again louder.
Why take them?
Why take the spear? If it won't work, signs don't work at the camp. Signs don't work. Okay, in the cave, when is it? It's during the day. Everybody's awake. Day. Okay. And at the camp, night. Shaul's state during the day, awake. He could scream. At night, sleep. He's not drunk. Sleep.
He was
dark at night.
What would the water make a difference when he
wakes
up there from an early day?
He's got to have a bigger vessel to wash.
No matter whether it's
I don't know why he took the water. I still don't know. He was thirsty.
That story with the beard doesn't make so much sense.
Why?
Bees at night.
He didn't do this for Shaul.
It was a spiritual bee.
He didn't do this for Shaul.
Who does David speak to?
That's why he didn't do this for Shaul.
Well, we'll see. What's that?
Yeah.
There he speaks to Saul. Who does he speak to this time?
Hashem.
No,
he's talking to Avishai.
You're right. He also talks to Hashem.
But Abner first.
Abner. In this case, when he calls out and says, hey, everybody, who does he call to?
Abner.
He's no longer talking to Saul. So when does he talk to Saul finally? When Saul says something to him. By the way, in
but
his...
He said that Shaul woke up, and then he spoke to
Shaul woke up, and like, hey, yeah, but who does he call to? Hey, Avner! And by the way, you get a sense, how does David feel about Avner?
Not very nice. He didn't like him.
Why?
He said he should be killed because he didn't do his job as guardian.
He's trying to mock him, yeah. Right? Why? Why is he trying to mock him and ridicule him? Why does he hate him so much?
He's the one keeping Tanya Shalva's
laughing. Yeah, right! Why do you think Zadok's coming after him?
He's getting poor advice.
Very, very poor advice. Hey, you know, he said, that's what he says. Look what David says. Very interesting. At the end, he says, Vayomer David, a second. He says to Avner, Pasuk Yud Tet, 19. Va'atana yishmana adomi amelech adivrei avdo. Hey, King, listen up. Ima Hashem hesitcha biyerach mincha. If it was God that incited you against me, okay, we have to offer a mincha. We have to offer an offering. V'im b'nei ha'adam. And if it's people, i.e., your scumball, slime-sucking loser that's standing next to you who was supposed to protect you, arurim heim b'nei Hashem. They can all go to hell. He really, really, really doesn't like this guy Avner. By the way, why else would he not like him? One simple reason.
Took his place.
No, more than that.
You still hanging out with Shaul?
More.
Wasn't he the one that squealed on him?
Worse.
Married his wife.
No, he didn't marry his wife. What could he have done that's worse than that? Anyone? Come on!
Killed
the city of Kohanim. Who remembers the Kohanim, right? Yeah. Yeah, he killed the whole city of Kohanim.
Okay.
David has no patience for a man he thinks is evil who has the ear of the king. He has no. He can't handle it, in a sense.
Even down to the livestock.
Down to the livestock. Livestock and barren. Okay. In the cave, who has the upper hand?
Well, originally, Saul, because he hadn't surrounded for...
Saul has the upper hand.
No question about it. David could have killed Saul, but David would not have walked out of it alive.
Correct. So, at the camp, who has the upper hand? Clearly David. But the question is that a metaphor for something larger? What has changed in between these two stories? I'm clearly getting at something here. This, by the way, is I got all these examples from the Dat Mikra. The Dat Mikra at the end, Dat Mikra is the Navi put up by Mosad Rav Kook. And at the end of each chapter, they have summaries. And they mention a lot of these differences. And I also got this from Rav Ariel. I don't have Rav Ariel's book with me, but he wrote these books on Navi, which are absolutely wonderful. And just terrific. Who has the upper hand? So now David has the upper hand. What has changed in between? What story is in between these two stories?
Abigail.
The story of Abigail and Nabal. Remember what the theme, what was the theme that Abigail taught David? In this, I know it was 2 weeks ago,
patience.
Like an ages ago. Patience and virtue and more than patience. Remember what she told him. She taught him an important lesson. Let's go back. This guy Nabal ticked off David. He insulted him. What was David going to do?
Kill him.
Right? So what message did Abigail send to him in a very brilliant, subtle way? What did she tell him? She taught him not to do it. Why?
Shouldn't do it at night.
Don't heed the moment.
What?
Don't act and
so what, why shouldn't he do it? She sent him the message, if you recall, the message that you'll gain more power and prominence in controlling your anger than you will in exacting it. Meaning you could show him that you're going to be the king and that you're in charge and you're in control. But if you do it, you will actually lose control. And you will lose power and you will lose stature in the eyes of the people. That's what she taught her. The question is, did he learn it or not? Did he learn that test or not? So it's interesting. Yeah, we see here, David is clearly set up to kill Shaul. If you go down the list, he has time to plan. Shaul's not his father-in-law. Shmuel is dead. He can't have no protection of the prophet anymore. The king is sleeping. Everybody's willing to do it. Signs don't work anymore. It's night. They're asleep. Well, there's 7 reasons. It's perfect. They're all sleeping magical sleep. And the guy said to David, do it. Go do it. It's perfect time. Right through.
That's not the way you do things at night in the dark.
Turn to page one. Chai Hashem. David took a swear, and as God lives, I will not kill the king. David. It's that you find this with David. Kishnafal Shaul biyado. Ma'amar David. What did David say when Shaul fell on his hand? The Yom David, Chai Hashem, as God lives, Kiim Hashem, Yikim Hashem, Yikfenu O Yomo. The Lama Nishva Shnei Hamim, says the Midrash. Why did David swear twice? Third line, after the parentheses. Amar Rab Shimon Bar Nachmeni. Shimon Bar Nachmeni said, Hayaba Yitro. His Yetzer. Which Yetzer? Yetzer Hara. Came to him and said, Amar, Ilu Nafalta Atabi Yado. If he had you in this situation, he would have killed you in a second. You could kill him. You have a right to. Go, do it. He's a rodef. He's trying to kill you. That's why he had to swear twice. Why? Achad neged Yitro shemishito shemo kidin. One for his yitzahara. V'ashen yal shemishito kidin sharei rodef haya. And the second one, the legitimate thing that Shaul was trying to kill him, is a rodef. So he swears twice. Why does David swear? Why is the purpose of swearing? Grab the shadows because David never considered killing him. Wrong. Why did David go down there? We're going to end this tonight. And he gets down there, and they're asleep, and the spear is there, and David sees the spear stuck in the ground, and he says to himself, I can't do it. I won't do it.
So that's the spear sticking in the ground.
Yes.
It still bothers me.
Good.
That
what is the spear? And why is the spear so important? In fact, the Dan Mikra mentions the spear appears 6 times. If you count them in this year, the word chanit appears 6 times in this short parsha. Is this the spear? We saw the spear. The spear is there. The spear is here. The spear is everywhere. They say that this is the theme. What does the spear do to him? Tell me about the spear.
Is the spear the sign of Malchut? Is that something that was so important? Was it a sign that was what Shaul was going after?
Think about the picture that I used for this class.
Well, here you got this picture here.
Well, I just sort of stripped that in there. Yes. That was in publisher. You know where I'm going with this, Steve?
He always had this
no thing. Idea?
The model of his kingdom.
Why?
Everything that he did was through his own might and through killing and destruction and all that power.
Give me two examples. Okay. Before that even. With David himself. Why would that spear get him?
When he threw it against the wall.
That's right. How many times?
Twice.
2 times Shaul throws the spear into the wall and barely misses David himself. How does Shaul rule? With the power of the spear. You don't like me? You crush me? I'll kill you. Why does Shaul, it's so interesting by the way, why does Shaul put the spear into the ground? Yeah, right. Why does it, you're right, it's such a good imagery. Why does he put the spear in the ground as opposed to lying next to him?
Because if someone comes upon him, you know.
If someone comes upon him, you want the spear next to you.
You have to dig it out of him.
That's right.
A lot of force.
He has confidence in himself. He's surrounded with all the.
No.
You put the sword down. It's just sitting there.
Maybe that's the warning, that's fine.
The spear in the ground
is
a warning.
Right.
That's right. My ground. Here it is. Let me give you a couple of other good examples. Turn to chapter 18, verse 1. Is that it? 18 verse 1? I hope I have the right one.
Page 118.
One second. Maybe it's not verse 1. Verse 11. Vayatel Shaul et Achanit Vayomer Akeh B'David Ubekir. takes his spear, I'm going to kill him. Turn to chapter 19, verse 10. See, it's very interesting, by the way, when Shaul throws the spear, how does he throw it? He wants to throw it with David ubikir. What does that mean? How do you throw it? It's interesting. And what does Avishai say to David that snaps him out of it? What does Avishai say to David at the camp? That's right. Wow. Next one. Chapter 20, verse 33. This one, you're not, wait, what is this one? Chapter 20, verse 33 is, yes. Saul's talking to his own son. Shaul took his spear to smite his own son. That's Yonatan knew. Forget it. With the spear. When Shaul takes the spear, there's nothing more to talk about. Next one. Chaf Bet Vav. 22:6. This is pretty amazing stuff. Remember when Shaul didn't know what was going on and he had that power meeting, that untouchables meeting with his generals and says, like, who's with me and who's now not with me? Vayishma Shaul kinoda David va'anashim asher itel imim. He found out, v'Shaul yoshev b'giva tachat ha'asha b'ramah. Shaul stands sitting in giva under the tree, v'chanito b'yado. And his spear is in his hands. And everyone's standing around me. And then he says to his people, who knows if you guys are going against me or not going against me? It's interesting. What's the spear doing in his hands? Because everybody knows what that spear is doing in his hands.
Just waiting to kill somebody.
That's right. Saul uses the spear as his symbol of power. It is his symbol of martial law. I am in control. And everywhere he sleeps, smack into the ground, everybody comes up, they know, I mean business. I don't mess around. David saw that spear, and he realized the lesson that it was all just a test. That God was testing him. You're right. That they were all asleep. Is he going to gain more power by using the spear, or by holding back and not using the spear? Does he want to rule? That's right. Does he want to rule the rulership of Shaul? Does he can start right now. Or does he want to hold back? So what does he do to Shaul? Now you see, what does he do? He takes his spear.
He takes his spear
not to tell Shaul, I could have killed you, and I didn't kill you, and you should be nice to me now. He takes the spear to tell Shaul,
they're not in control.
Look who's got the spear now. Oh.
It's like,
look who's in control now. Look who has the upper hand now. And you know what? I had the power, and I chose not to use it.
Oh, yeah, he gives it back.
And he gives it back to him. You think that I had power because of you? Tables have turned. Now you have power because of me.
Wow. But is it going to stop him?
This is the last time they meet. They never meet again. The message is clear to get through. They never meet again. And David could not have sent a more powerful message than that.